As you're being seated this morning, I invite you to turn in your Bible to the book of James, and we will be in James chapter 5. And as you are turning there, I want to bring up a saying that all of us have heard, and that is, what you don't know won't hurt you. Is that always the case? Church, who has won the last 10 World Series? Which teams have won the last 10 World Series? Off the top of your head, you don't know, and neither do I. We're unharmed by that. But there are some things you should know. What is your address? You should know where you live, right? You should know that. And then there are some things that you must know. There are some things that you need to know. Hey, husbands, what is the eye color of your wife's eyes? What color are your wife's eyes? You better know that. Spouses, what is the date of your anniversary? You need to know that for your own sake. Hey, Army men and women, what time is accountability and PT formation in the morning? You better know it. High school grads, what time and what building is that first class going to be in? You need to know it. It'll be very embarrassing if you walk into the wrong one. But this morning, church, I want to talk to you about something of utmost importance. I want to talk to you about something that if you do not know, you will be hurt. What you don't know will hurt you. You see, this morning I want to talk to you about the subject of souls. In particular, I want to talk to you about what happens and the severity of a soul that has departed from the truth. You see, truth is like a tightrope, and all of us have seen tightrope walkers scrutinizing and paying careful attention to putting one foot in front of another, not veering to the left or to the right because it would be certain destruction if they did, but to walk across that tightrope. Church, every soul in this place has been called to walk in the truth. To err in this is to go tumbling down. So what happens when a soul departs from the truth? Read with me James chapter 5, verses 19 through 20. My brothers, if anyone among you wanders from the truth and someone brings him back, let him know that whoever brings back a sinner from his wandering will save his soul from death and will cover a multitude of sins. Church, this morning I want you to understand one primary thing, and that is that every born-again believer must be about the business of saving souls. And if we are going to be about this business, there are some things that we have to know. Number one, you need to know that Christians can wander. Look at verse 19. James, as he so often does in his letter, says, my brothers, not just general, but my brothers, my sisters in the faith. If anyone among you, if anyone that has been a part of you, wanders from the truth, this is not somebody that is unknown. This is somebody that used to sit next to you in your chair. This is someone among you, and the truth is Christians can wander. You see, there are many warnings found in the book of James. Warnings like, if a believer hears the word and does not do the word, they are straying, they are wandering. If a believer shows partiality, if a believer has an untamed tongue, if a believer lacks wisdom, if a believer is in love with the world and the comforts and the pleasures of this temporary place, they are straying from the truth. If they have plans that have failed, they can become discouraged and they begin to stray because they did not seek the Lord in His plan. But whatever it was, these brothers and these sisters had strayed, they had departed from the truth. Perhaps it was some heretical belief. This is no trivial matter. This is a certain heretical belief. The New Testament writers often synonymously use the word truth with gospel. You look it up in Timothy, and Paul often interchanges the word truth for gospel. This is no small departure. Just this week, students, graduating class of 2022, I read an article that 40% of Gen Z believe that Jesus sinned like the rest of us. Graduates, you are getting ready to set out from home, but I pray that you stay tied to the truth. You will have to fight for your faith. You see, as surely as one stops believing the truth, so follows their behavior. Behavior and belief are forever linked. You cannot separate them. When one starts to believe a lie, they begin to behave in lies. When one departs from the truth, steadfast love and knowledge of God disappear. Leave the truth and you are bound for a multitude of sins, such as swearing, lying, murder, stealing, adultery, bloodshed. You don't believe me? This is exactly what the Lord declared to Israel in Hosea chapter 4. Look it up and read it yourself. When you depart from steadfast and faithful truth, you enter into a multitude of sins. The Lord says in Hosea 4:6 that his people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. Christian, you should know that you can wander. You see, when Israel got fat, when they were blessed of the Lord, they turned their back on the Lord. Satan will use pleasure to lead you astray from God as quick as he will use pain. But perhaps it was not pain, it was not pleasure that led these people astray. Perhaps it was pain. Because in context, you look up at the beginning of chapter 5, and we see the example of Job and how Satan tempted that godly man through loss and through pain. Pain can quickly steer people away from the truth. But Job stood the test. And we saw the purpose of the Lord, as did Job experience the purpose of the Lord, that the Lord is compassionate and merciful. It was C.H. Spurgeon who once said, "Most of the grand truths of God have to be learned by trouble. They must be burned into us with the hot iron of affliction, otherwise we shall not truly perceive them." When you go through difficult times, it is not that God would ruin you, it's that he would show you just how merciful and compassionate he is. Don't turn away from God, be comforted by God, turn to him. Whatever it was, these Christians had wandered. They had wandered from the truth. You know, it was the Apostle Paul who, inspired by the Holy Spirit, quoted a poet from Crete. So I feel at liberty this morning to quote one of my favorite American poets, that is George Jones. George Jones said, "Who's going to fill their shoes? Who's going to give their heart and soul to get to me and you?" Christian, number two, what you ought to know is that Christians chase wanderers. Christians chase wanderers. At least that is true of the Spirit-filled Christian in Galatians chapter 6. Too quick are we to give up on people. We remember that the person sitting next to us used to be faithful and in Sunday school with us, and we wept tears with them, and we prayed with them, and we fellowshiped with them, and we broke bread with them. But now they have been absent for some time, and we just write them off. 1 John 2:19 warns of this. He says, "They departed from us because they were not of us." 1 Timothy chapter 4 gives the promise that many will depart from the faith by devoting themselves to deceitful spirits and the teaching of demons. But listen to what Jesus says about his own. Whenever he speaks of the straying sheep in Matthew chapter 18, he says, "It is not the will of my Father who is in heaven that one of these little ones should perish." Do you go seeking strays? Christians chase wanderers. Do you weep for wanderers? You remember that great weeping prophet Jeremiah. In Jeremiah chapter 8, verses 4 through 5, speaking to God's people who had been in exile and he was going to bring them back into the city of God, he says, "You shall say to them, thus says the Lord, when men fall, do they not rise again? If one turns away, does he not return? Why then has this people turned away in perpetual backsliding? They hold fast to deceit. They refuse to return." God's children were refusing to return. They had strayed, but he sent Jeremiah to bring back his sheep. And let me give you a little encouragement for those Christians who are chasing wanderers. Sunday school members, I read the prayer list. I look in this room, and I've seen the redness in your eyes as you have wept for those who have lost their way. God hears your weeping heart. God weeps with you. And in Jeremiah chapter 1, 31, 15 through 20, thus says the Lord, a voice is heard in Ramah, lamentation and bitter weeping. Rachel is weeping for her children. She refuses to be comforted for her children because they are no more. Thus says the Lord, keep your voice from weeping and your eyes from tears, for there is a reward for your work. You will be rewarded for going to find wanderers. This is what the Lord declares. They shall come back from the land of the enemy. There is hope for your future, declares the Lord, and your children shall come back to their own country. I have heard Ephraim's grieving. You have disciplined me, and I was disciplined. Like an untrained calf, bring me back that I may be restored, for you are the Lord my God. For after I had turned away, this is the wanderer coming back to the Lord. He says, I relented, and after I was instructed, I struck my thigh. I was ashamed, and I was confounded. Because I bore the disgrace of my youth. This is the work of the ever-present Holy Spirit of God, convicting a stray to come back to the truth. The Lord is at work today. God says, is Ephraim my dear son? Is he my darling child? For as often as I speak against him, I do remember him still. Therefore, my heart yearns for him. I will surely have mercy on him, declares the Lord. Children may wander from their parents, but a faithful God who is their father loves them and yearns for them and will bring them back. He will use you, church, to go and do and to find and to seek the lost sheep. James, John, Peter, Barnabas, Silas, Paul, these men sought and looked and chased after straying sheep. They were great under shepherds, and there have been countless others throughout the history of the church who went after the strays. This is the example we are to follow. Therefore, you should know that Christians chase wanderers. Lord, I wonder who's going to fill their shoes. Well, if you're going to chase after them, there's some things you ought to know. Number one, you ought to be praying for wanderers. I will stand before you right now, church, and just publicly confess and repent of my shortcoming in this. It breaks God's heart that I don't have a broken heart for those who have strayed from East Leesville Baptist Church. 1 John 5:16, 17 says, if anyone sees his brother committing a sin not leading to death, he shall ask and God will give him life. To those who commit sins that do not lead to death, there is sin that leads to death. I do not say that one should pray for that. All wrongdoing is sin, but there is sin that does not lead to death. Go after those straying sheep who still have an opportunity to repent today and to look to Christ and to return to him to be cleansed and redeemed and forgiven. You pray for the lost. Number two, you ought to exhort the lost. Everything in you, every square inch, every being of your fiber ought to cry out to those people, come quickly, now is the time to come to the Lord. Every time we gather, the author of Hebrews says in verse 24 and 25 of chapter 10, he says, let us consider how to stir up one another and to love and to do good works, not neglecting to meet together. Church, you've not neglected to meet together this morning. Don't neglect to exhort one another and to stir one another up to love and good works while you're here this morning, because that is the habit of some. Some have gotten in the habit of neglecting to meet together. But you encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near, because that day is drawing near when it will be too late for the wanderer to come back to the truth. But today is the day. Today is the day that you go send that text message to that straying soul. You go find and chase after that wanderer and you bring him back to an all-forgiving, all-merciful, and all-gracious God. Thirdly, church, Christians that wander will return to the truth. Verse 20, let him know. Who is it that should know these things? Well, the language is ambiguous, and it could be that the author intended it to be that way. Is it the sinner that needs to know, or is it the one that is bringing back the sinner that needs to know? It could be that it is both. But Christians that wander will come back to the truth. Here's what the sinner needs to know. He needs to know that he is in grave danger if he stays away from the trail of truth. They need to know that apart from the truth and from walking in the truth, that their soul is exposed and they are in danger of having a multitude of sins uncovered before a holy and righteous God. There will be some who do not return to the truth. They need to know of the danger that they're in. But those that never return, did they lose their salvation? Impossible. What God does in one's heart is irreversible. God is faithful and true to save. So the problem is, for those that don't come back, it's probably and sadly because they were never really among us. The Bible expressly says there will be many in the last days who fall away. Oh, but they walked an aisle. I witnessed it. They said a prayer. They got in the baptistry. But perhaps, and maybe they said they saw Christ as some sort of fire insurance policy. They never trusted Christ. They never loved Christ. They came to Christ to get out of hell free. Nothing more, nothing less. I agree with one pastor who said Christ is not to be treated like a one-time vaccine, but like a therapist that you sit in front of face-to-face over and over again. And I will testify to this. If you have truly come to Christ one time, you will come again and again and again and again because he is too good to neglect. You will keep coming to Christ. But the sinner should know of the danger they are in apart from the truth. You see, the Bible says their soul is in danger of death. Not annihilation. I wouldn't be standing here today if a soul was just going to be annihilated. I wouldn't give everything I've got to go get a soul that's just going to be annihilated. We are to rescue souls from death. And when I say death, that means the soul and the body separated from God for all of eternity. A dying, grieving, sad, painful death for eternity. We have got to go after these souls that they may not enter into this death. Exhort them to return. Perhaps the greatest illustration I can give of this is Christian in John Bunyan's Pilgrim's Progress. I want to compare Christian to formalism and hypocrisy. Formalism and hypocrisy, they joined Christian along the trail. As Christian had set forward and set his eyes on that celestial city, the city in the sky that he would be with Jesus, along tumbled over the wall, formalism and hypocrisy. You see, they had found themselves entering into this trail that Christian was on, but they came in through a different entrance. There's only one way to enter into the way of truth. You see, Christian entered in through the wicket gate. He entered in through the narrow way. He came to Christ. Oh, but formalism he came through another way. He said, I've been a member of this great church for most of my life. I was baptized at East Leesville Baptist Church. I've taken the Lord's Supper with all of you. I'm here every time the doors are open. I've given more money to the church than the person sitting next to me has. I have kept the rules, and by my own goodness, I will enter into that city. Well, hypocrisy says, all that matters is my own actions. Look how good I am. I do many good deeds. I do many nice things. Oh, but I do neglect to examine my heart from time to time to see if there's really any love there. Of course, I don't always speak kindness, but who does? Who's perfect? In fact, my lips are often as poisonous as a viper. I slander and I murder with my lips. Oh, but that doesn't really matter. What is truth? It doesn't really matter what God says. And then again, there are many times I do good things, but my motives are driven by recognition and praise of man, as well as my own selfish ambition. But I'll excuse all these wicked things because, after all, nobody's perfect. Church, if you have been deceived, thinking that you are walking on a different trail than what God has called us to, yet thinking that you will end up at the same destination, I encourage you this morning to repent. Your formalism, your religion, your hypocrisy will damn you in the end. This is a solemn warning. Your soul will perish, and your sins that are a multitude will not be covered. You will be bare and exposed before God. But if you will be like Christian in Pilgrim's Progress and come to Jesus, once and for all, really and truly come to Him, close with Christ this morning, you will be saved. In James chapter 1, verse 18, here's what James says of the truth. Of God's own will, He brought us forth by the word of truth. Not your own doing, God's doing. God's own will brought us forth by the word of truth that we should be a kind of first fruits of His creatures. So do you want to know today? Maybe you've entered in by another way. God calls you a trespasser, and you will be judged all the more for that grievous sin. But today, here's what James says in James chapter 1, verse 21. Receive with meekness the implanted word. Hang up your efforts. Don't look to your works anymore. Come to Jesus. Receive the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. Come to Jesus. People will wonder. In fact, many already have. The saddest thing about formalism and hypocrisy is that though they wonder, they think that they are in the truth. They are lost, and they are some of the most difficult to bring back. So you should know that Christians can wander. You should know that God uses other Christians to chase after wanderers, and you should know that Christians who wander will return to the truth. You may be here this morning right now, physically among us, but spiritually, you have departed. You know it, and you've known it for a while, that your soul has left the way of truth. You don't burn for the Lord the way you once did. You don't remember the love that you once had for Him. I am sure of it. There's at least one person here this morning who has strayed and wandered. And I am striving right now to bring back your precious soul. If just one soul, it is immeasurably valuable. Because when you return to the truth, you should know that your soul is saved. And that all, not some, all a multitude of sins have been covered. Church, if you are here this morning and you have stumbled, you have fallen from the tight rope of truth, listen to this word from the prophet Micah in chapter 7, verses 7 through 9. He says, "Rejoice not over me, O my enemy. When I fall, I shall rise. When I sit in darkness, the Lord will be a light to me. I will bear the indignation of the Lord because I have sinned against him. Until he pleads my cause and executes judgment for me, he will bring me out to the light. I shall look upon his vindication." Here is the blueprint. Here is the map back to the trail of truth. If you are a wanderer here this morning, listen, it is confidence in the Lord. He says, "I have fallen, but I shall rise. Though I am in the darkness right now, the Lord will be a light to me." Secondly, it's confession. "I have sinned against the Lord. I deserve everything that is coming my way. I am guilty because of my sins. Yet I will humble myself before the Lord, and I will wait for the Lord to bring me out of the rut that I am in." Thirdly, it is a certainty that the Lord will do what is right. God has said, "If I confess my sins, he will forgive me. If I forsake my wicked way," and a loveless Christian without love for Christ is one of the greatest wickedness of our day. "But God will surely pardon me. I trust God to do this because he is faithful and righteous to keep his promise." Church, I began this message saying that truth is like a tightrope. But I want you to hear me plain and clear. If you have come to Jesus and you have asked him to save you and you have received him into your heart and you have trusted him that on the cross he covered your sins and that you are covered in the blood, you listen to me. You may have stumbled, you may be falling headlong, but listen, Christ Jesus will be your safety net. You will stumble and you will tumble, but when you call on the name of the Lord, he will catch you in his arms. Right now, would you call out to Jesus? Do business with Christ. He's the one who rescues you. He's your only hope. He will save you. He will cover your sins, and he will usher your soul into the presence of God one day. Christians, will you go after straying souls? Listen to the great evangelist L.R. Scarborough. He says, "The most mammoth undertaking God has laid out for men is to lead lost souls to Jesus Christ." Listen to this. "It costs God more and requires more of man than any other movement in human or divine history. To make a world, he had only to speak the word. To save the world, he must crucify his only begotten Son." It's going to take everything you've got, but will you commit to saving souls? I'm going to close in prayer. If you are a Christian, would you commit to chasing wanderers? If you are a wanderer who has departed from the truth, maybe it is time that you confess it to the Lord. Deal with Christ right now. You may come to the front, pray with a pastor, get down on your knees at the altar, publicly confess before the church that you have strayed and you have wandered. But if you are a lost soul, you've never come to Jesus truthfully and rightfully and entered in through him and by him alone and walked through the door who is Jesus Christ, today is the day. May God grant you salvation this morning. Let's pray together. Father God, thank you for this morning. Thank you for your word. God, thank you for implanting your word into my heart. God, thank you for saving my soul because I was a lost and wayward, just a lost man. But in your grace and your mercy, you sent Jesus to cover my sin. Lord, may you move in this place.